I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We are very thankful to the Lord to have this opportunity and this blessing to bring to you the gospel of God's grace. And we hope that you will settle in and gather around in your homes to hear the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the message of God's wonderful and amazing and sovereign grace. We are thankful that the Lord has given us the blessing to be to come into your homes, and hope that you will enjoy the message on this program. I'd like to also invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. The directions to the church is that you take Piney Forest Road North, and you'll come to the intersection of Franklin Turnpike or Highway 41. You will turn left at the light at McDonald's, take your left on 41 or Franklin Turnpike, proceed 1 mile, and you'll come to Afton Road, take your right on Afton Road off of 41 or Franklin Turnpike. The meeting house is located about a quarter of a mile on Afton Road. We meet every Sunday morning. Singing begins at 10:30. And preaching at 11 o'clock. We would love to have you in our worship services. Also, if you would like to contribute to this telecast, to this program, you can make your check payable to the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church and send it to this address, 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. And also, if you'd like to contact me by phone, the phone number is 434-836-6036. It's on the screen. And we'll give you that information again before that we sign off. I'd like to have a prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blessing to be able to testify of Thy gospel by this means. We ask that Thou be with us as we preach the gospel. Help me to advance the cause. And may the hearts and the minds of Thy people be open as the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. And may they investigate Thy word and search Thy word to see if these things be so. We would ask again to that the gospel might have free course and be glorified. For it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. I'm going to start in the Gospel according to John chapter 6 in verse 37. I'll start reading with verse 37. These are the words of Jesus in the Bread of Life sermon. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. In these verses of Scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are six fundamental, foundational principles that are set forth concerning the salvation of God's people. We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, in a very plain and explicit declaration of what he came into this world to do, that was to do the will of the Father which sent him, his Father's will. And it's very plain and clear what the Father's will is, and that's the will of the Son of God in doing that which the Father sent him to do. First of all, in order to understand these wonderful scriptures, we must believe what the Bible teaches about the fall of man and total depravity and the inherent nature of man, that he is a sinner by nature, and that man cannot extricate himself from the bonds that he is in by nature, that he is a fallen individual. All human beings are in sin, and they cannot extricate themselves from that condition. The Apostle Paul, in the third chapter of the book of Romans, makes it very clear that we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. He says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There are 14 charges in the third chapter of the book of Romans why man, in his unregenerate state, that being dead in trespasses and in sins, cannot on his own free will come to God, that he does not love God, he does not love Jesus Christ, God's Son, he does not love spiritual things, and therefore by his own free will, because he is dead in trespasses and in sins, cannot come to God. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that God did look down from heaven and that he saw none doing good. No human being has any good as far as his depraved human nature is concerned. He said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. He says, there is none that seeketh after God. So there is none in the human family, by human nature, in his depravity, that seeks after God. He does not thirst for God. He does not hunger for God, because he is alienated from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, here in verse 37, says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, here we have, in this short phrase, we have two fundamental doctrines that are taught, or two teachings that are taught throughout the Word of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Well, Jesus is saying here that the Father has given me a people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says that all that the Father gave to me, they shall come to me. Well, I have already proven by God's word that man by human nature will not come. He cannot come. In fact, in verse 44 of this sermon, Jesus says, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. So no man can come. And that's universal. No man can come. But here he says, all the Father giveth me shall come. Well, there are two opposites here. He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And in verse 44, he says, no man can come to me. Both statements are true. There is no contradiction in the words of Jesus Christ. And if there is a contradiction in your mind, then it is truly because you have not seen the truth of salvation by the grace of Almighty God. You have not seen the truth of total depravity or the inability of man in his human nature, his depraved human nature, to come to God. He cannot come to God. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, here we have two major fundamental teachings of Christ in this first phrase. All the Father giveth me. All right, we have the gift of the Father to the Son of certain persons out of the human family that God loved before the world began, and he gave to his darling Son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, there are many places in God's Word that this is taught. And I'd like to take you to several of those places where that there is the gift of the Father to the Son. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John, we read there the words of Jesus Christ again, when he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking there about him being the shepherd of the sheep. And he says there that my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. All right, here we have the term again, gave them me, or the phrase, gave them me. My Father which gave them me, gave them me. Who's he talking about? My sheep. My Father gave my sheep to me. So the Father, by gift, gave the sheep, or his people, to his darling Son. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I and my Father are one. So here we have again the teaching of the gift that the Father gave unto the Son. And these are particular people that God gave to his Son before the world began. In the Gospel according to John chapter 17, we read there in verse 1, it says, as Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Here we have the phrase again. Jesus says, I have power or authority over all flesh. That is, the Father has given me power over all flesh. That I should give what? Give eternal life to as many. How many? To as many as thou hast given him. Not one more and not one less. To as many as thou hast given him. To as many as God the Father gave unto his Son. That's how many that the Son has given eternal life to, or will give eternal life to, or shall give eternal life to. Again, in that high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ, on in that prayer says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast loved them, that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where that I am, that they may behold my glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here again we find the phrase, those that thou hast given me. We find it many places in the Scriptures. Those that the Father gave unto Jesus Christ. Let's examine Scripture again. Jesus says, I am them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that they may know that thou hast sent me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Now, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ before that he dies upon the cross. He says, Father, all those that thou hast given me, that they be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now here we find that the Father loved his Son before the foundation of the world. Well, in the preceding verse, he says, "Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Here we have the eternal love of God for those that he gave unto his Son. Those that he gave unto his Son, he loved them as he loved his Son. Well, has his love ever began for his Son? Why, certainly not. Will his love ever end for his Son? Definitely not. Will his love ever end for those that he gave unto his Son? When did he love his Son? Before the foundation of the world. For Jesus said, "Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So of necessity, by the scripture, by the text, it says, "Thou hast loved them," that is, those that the Father gave to his Son before the foundation of the world. "For thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come." Well, they do not come by their free will. But how is it that they shall come? Well, we find here that they shall come out of their state of depraved nature to spiritual life by the call or the irresistible work of God's grace within their hearts. That's how they shall come. They shall come from death to life, from nature to grace, by the work of God within their soul to raise their spirit up, their inner man, their inward man up, that is dead in sin by nature, that is depraved, but they will be raised up. For he says here, "They all shall come to me." Now most of the time you only hear the last part of that statement. "Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Well, here we have a third principle of salvation that is taught. All those that were given by the Father to the Son, that shall be irresistibly drawn by the Holy Spirit and born of God, are quickened by grace and be given spiritual life. Here the Lord Jesus said, "I will in no wise cast out." Here we have the doctrine of preservation. That is, that the child of God, born of God's Spirit, can never lose eternal life or spiritual life, can never lose his relationship with God. He can never lose eternal life. Jesus said that himself. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You see, men teach that you can get eternal life by what you do, and some of them teach you can't lose eternal life after you get it. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you that you can't get eternal life by what you do, and you can't lose eternal life or spiritual life by what you do. There are those that teach that you can get spiritual life by what you do, and you can lose eternal life by what you do. Well, neither doctrine is true. That is the doctrines of men, and that is a falsehood. You don't do anything to get eternal life. God gives it to whom he will. Here he says in verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me." Here we have the phrase again. "All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." He says, "I'm not going to lose any of them that the Father gave unto me." He says, "I'll lose nothing." He shall lose none of them, and he'll lose no part of them. And he says, "I'll raise it up again at the last day." When did the Father give these to the Son? When were they given? Well, it's very clearly taught in the scriptures, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We read there in chapter 1 as the Apostle Paul wrote to a primarily Gentile church, and he was a Israelite, he was a Hebrew, a preacher of the gospel. He wrote to primarily a Gentile church, and he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He says that God chose us in Christ, that is in his Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now here we have a clear, distinct declaration in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who did the choosing? God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Who did he choose us in? He chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. This is when God gave this gift to his Son. How many were given to the Son? Well, there are people that accuse us as Primitive Baptists of just preaching a few that's going to be in heaven. Well, they didn't get that from us. They dreamed that, or they imagined that. No, the Bible teaches that God has a people out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. In the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, we find there that after that John saw the 144,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12,000 out of each tribe, he says, lo, and I beheld a great multitude which no man can number, out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation. And they were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Here we have a redeemed host of people, a great multitude that no man can number. See, no man knows the number of God's family. God's redeemed. No man knows the number. It's a number that no man can number, out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. So we know that God, out of fallen humanity, already had loved the people from eternity, and they were out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. And every one of them, every heir of promise, every elect, will be delivered into heaven because Jesus Christ came into the world and he died for them upon the cross and removed their sin debt and saved them from their sins. You see, Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to make a people his own. He came to save the people that were already his, that the Father had already given unto him. He saved everyone that the Father gave unto him. Here he says in this sixth chapter and verse 39, he says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now, either you believe that he's going to lose someone he died for, or you believe the words of Jesus. He says that everyone that the Father has given unto me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Jesus said, I'll lose nothing. And I believe what he said. All of his children, all of his family, the great multitude that he purchased with his own blood upon the cross, he'll lose nothing. If Jesus loses one that he come into the world to save for heaven, then he failed. And then you would have to say, well, he lost. But Jesus said, I will lose nothing. Dear friends, either you believe he loses nothing, or either you believe that he loses some he died for. Well, the free will doctrine will tell us that Jesus died for all humanity, and most of them are going to hell in spite of him dying for them. So he's going to lose most of them according to the free will doctrine. But Jesus said here, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. The work of grace in the hearts of God's people is indeed effective, because it is God who is doing the work in the hearts of his people to change them from nature to grace, from being dead in sin to life in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear here that those that are drawn by the Father, and that is the work of the Father in their hearts, in our hearts the Father has worked. Somewhere in your heart, God worked. If you love God, it is because God first loved you and worked his grace in your heart and inscribed his love within your soul. And Almighty God, by his loving kindness, drew you and therefore inscribed his love within your heart, whereby that you loved him. Here he says that I will raise him up at the last day. Those that are drawn by the Father, he said, I'll raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Here we have the expression again, all. They shall all be taught of God. All who? All of the children of promise. All of the elect. All of the loved of God. They shall all be taught of God. See, God is doing the teaching. This is not the teaching of the preacher. This is not by my teaching. This is not by any man's teaching. This is by the direct teaching of Almighty God. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Here Jesus says that all that are taught of God, they hear and they learn. Well, who do they hear? Well, they hear the voice of Almighty God in the work of the new birth or regeneration. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the fifth chapter of this same book, the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to John, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They shall be raised up, given spiritual life. They that hear shall live. The same voice that spoke this world into existence is the same voice that quickens and speaks to the soul that is dead in sin and raises that soul up, whereby that they have spiritual or eternal life. And therefore, after they have spiritual and eternal life, they begin to thirst after Almighty God. What a wonderful declaration that we have, that salvation is of the Lord. Now again, I want to remind you that we'll be on next Sunday night at this same time, and we hope that you will write us and let us know that you viewed this program. And again, write me at the address on the screen, or call me if you are interested in these things that I've been preaching. I'd be happy to talk with you anytime. And until next week, at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.